Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technologies, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Piano doesn't murder the player if it doesn't like the music. Prepare for Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome, I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining us, our science advisor, author of the Red Wings Saga, and one of the featured speakers at the upcoming Transhumanism and the Hybrid Age Conference, coming to Branson September 14th through the 16th, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie. Bye. Nice to see you again. That opening quote from Westworld.
Westworld Season 1, the character played by Anthony Hopkins, Dr. Robert Ford. Very appropriate quote as we prepare for the Transhumanism and the Hybrid Age Conference. Also appropriate as we record this. This is the week of the Burning Man Festival in Nevada, the theme of which is iRobot this year.
There's been a whole series of blogs at the burningman.org, I think is the URL. Mm-hmm. But at their website, since January of this year, on that topic, and taking a look at fiction and how it's portrayed, the idea of robots taking over. And that story goes all the way, that theme goes all the way back to, I think the play was written in 1920. I think it's called R.U.R. It was written by I want to say Czechoslovakian, but it was an Eastern European author. And it essentially, the basic plot was that robots who were constructed from a synthetic biological biomass, mm-hmm. Soylent Green, were created on this island. And these robots were servants to mankind. And along comes Helena, who is the heroine of the piece, and she decides that they need to have rights. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they should be given wages, and there should be laws set in place too, so that they wouldn't be just slaves. Of course, this was at a time when socialism was really taking over in Eastern Europe, so it's not surprising that that sort of subtext would be in the play. Over the next century or so, by the year 2000, the robots had developed souls mm-hmm. and reprogrammed themselves so that they had slain most of humans. There weren't very many humans left.
Sort of an early take on the plot arc, the story arc of the rebooted Battlestar Galactica.
Very, very similar to that. In fact, the robots in RUR look so human. They're like the humans in the Cylons in Battlestar, but also like the hosts in Westworld. Mm. They mm-hmm. look perfectly human.
Yeah.
And they live forever.
Yeah. And that was one of the questions raised by one of the hosts. An interesting choice of name, too, because host implies host of heaven.
And also army.
Right, because the word host really means army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was a question asked by one of the hosts in Westworld. If I look real and if you can't tell the difference, does it matter whether I'm real or not? Or in other words, to ask the question another way, how do you define real? What is real in the sense of human? And that's a question that transhumanists are asking. This is not a new thing, and sadly, the Christian church is way behind the curve when it comes to thinking about things like this. I was not aware of this play from 90 years ago.
Well, I'm writing the talk for Branson, and mm-hmm. I came across a reference to that play. And yeah, it's an old play. It predated the early film Metropolis, which is a very similar plot mm-hmm. that robots are being created, but these look very robotic in the film, and they're used as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a heroine who comes along, and eventually there's a robot that's based on her, and she leads the robots to freedom, along with a few, you know, humans that are progressive in nature. All of this coincided with not only this drive towards progressive socio-thought, but also a belief in self-directed evolution.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that humans should be more than we really are. We can be better. We can be truer to ourselves. And we can do it on our own. We don't need a redeemer. We can live forever. We can live better and be kinder to one another, which I just think is so crazy because human nature is human nature. Superhuman nature is just human nature writ large.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sinful as a human, a superhuman's going to be even more sinful and have more power to enact those sinful thoughts. But eugenics was born in the early 20th century here in the United States. And it all happened at the same time as this move towards programming and robots.
And it's not a coincidence, then, that the transhumanist movement, and one of our issues with the transhumanist movement, I think one of the problems inherent in transhumanism is that it is inextricable from eugenics. Who gets to decide?
Mm-hmm.
Who decides? Who upgrades? And on what basis do they make that decision?
Well, especially early on, because at the present time, if the science were robust and reliable, in other words, if I could upgrade you and know that I would achieve the very results that I was aiming for, it would be expensive. In today's market, that would cost millions of dollars. But if it costs millions of dollars, who has that?
Right.
Only who has that money?
The 1% or the 0.1%, the very wealthiest among us, who already have access to the best nutrition, best education, best health care. And so the stratification of society, if this technology was viable, would further stratify society, because those at the top would reserve it for themselves and those at the bottom would not have access to it.
Oh, very much so. And I believe that if the technology were there and ready to go, even if it were less expensive, that there would be those similar to the leaders of the eugenics movement in the early 20th century who would say, let's only give this to the deserving.
Yes, right.
They need to be really good to start out with. There was a belief even within African Americans that what was deemed the talented 10th should be the ones who are allowed to breed.
The talented 10th.
The talented 10th.
And this was a belief even among the African Americans.
Even amongst
African
Americans.
Wow.
At universities like Tuskegee.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was kind of cutting edge science.
This is often thought of as white only. No, it was not.
Huh. So this was considered cutting edge science of
100
years ago.
Cutting edge scientists, sociologists, biologists, they were taking a look at mankind as he existed then. And this idea of the talented 10th was taking the best 10% of all races and allowing only them to breed.
Not a coincidence, then, that the stones, the Georgia Guidestones, argue for elimination of the bottom 90%.
90%, exactly.
Wow.
Not coincidence.
Wow. Well, for animal husbandry, this makes sense. You want to take the most fit from your herd and breed them and leave those that are subject or prone to diseases, weaknesses, whatever, imperfect animals, and cull them from your herds in order to make sure that your pigs or whatever are the best that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to humans, you're dealing with a different animal, and that comes down to human exceptionalism and the idea that we were created in God's image. We are His imagers, regardless of our frailties, weaknesses, or imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are created as His moral agents on earth. But the transhumanist movement sets that aside and said the value of a human life is measured in its utility.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can't contribute as much to the greater good as someone else, well, I'm sorry, you may not be allowed to reproduce, or at worst, you may have to be sacrificed for the greater good.
Well, it's more than just can you contribute. It's are you actually draining our economy?
Right.
Not only are you not contributing, are you sucking the resources, so to speak?
Right, right. In sports, this is an analogy in sports. Recently, statistics have taken over like everything. And I'm kind of a statistics nerd anyway when it comes to baseball, basketball.
I'm going to tell a story on you. When Derek and I first got married, I went down into the basement to clean it out. And on this little desk down there was a notebook. It was a spiral ring notebook that was filled with numbers.
Yeah. It was from Strat-O-Matic Baseball, which was a card game that was developed back in the 60s and 70s, I guess, where you would have cards and you roll dice depending on the matchups. It replicated the actual matchups in baseball. And when I was a kid in high school, which gives you an idea of my social life in high school, I would actually create the teams and play the games myself and keep the statistics. That's how much of a nerd I was when it came to this
you
sort of thing.
You secretly still do that?
No, not so much. No, I've moved beyond that, thankfully, and in large part because I have much better things to do with my time, sweetheart.
I love you.
But I love you. And some of the statistics now that are kept in basketball and in hockey is how the score changes while a particular player is on the floor or on the ice. And so they will keep track of that, and that's a way to see what a player's relative value is to the team. So taking this into our discussion of transhumanism is almost how transhumanists want to look at our worth in society. Did society gain while Derek Gilbert was on the floor, as it were? And at what point in his or her, you know, what point in a life does a person go from being a net positive to a net negative? And then, okay, at this point, if we cut these people out, then society will continue to gain when we eliminate all the people with a minus sign in front of their value.
Well, I would argue that based on today's science, that decision would be made either in utero or right after the baby is born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, assuming that breeding was allowed in the first place among the parents.
And then we get to a Soylent Green scenario where it's decided that at a certain age, you can no longer be a net positive to society. And so we're just
recycle you.
Nip off and shoot yourself. Or, yes, they recycle you mm-hmm. into something that can be made into a positive, and hence Soylent Green as people.
Well, that is terrible, but that's probably how it would be seen because...
Right.
In the early 20th century, these were dispassionate decisions that were made very much like breeding cattle.
Yeah.
In fact, that's how they learned. They brought in experts in breeding animal husbandry, and they asked, how do you do this? Because at the time, genetics was poorly understood.
Mm-hmm.
So inheritance was based on numbers only, and it was this idea of a phenotype, that's how you appear on the outside. Whether or not you looked robust on the outside, we're going to take you and we're going to match you with, a proven breeder over here. So male and female were put together to get the best progeny. That's how it was seen.
Yeah.
And here in the United States, that gave birth to Hitler.
Right, because the Nazis copied their eugenics program on what was being done, programs that were actually in place here in the United States, some of which continued as late as the 1970s. Forced sterilization. Yeah. And this sounds almost crazy because this is not a part, this is not an aspect of American history that most of us are taught in school because it's unpleasant. It makes us feel bad. It's not, we forget the past, and so we fail to learn from the past. Those who fail to learn the lessons of history, mm-hmm. was it Fukuyama who said this, or Santayana, are condemned to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
The recent past, I mean, this is within the living memory of many of you watching this program, where people in places here in the United States were being sterilized without their consent, in a lot of cases without their knowledge, in fact, because they were considered unfit parents. They come from a line of people who were of below average intelligence. They tended toward alcoholism or unemployment or poverty, and those traits are inheritable. We need to eliminate them from the gene pool, and so we'll just strike them out. And again, that is what the Nazis in the 1930s mm-hmm. said, that's what we need to do in order to build the master race. Sadly, I don't think many of them see it, but that's what transhumanists are pushing for today.
Well, let me tell you something that Sir Francis Galton said in the 19th century. And he was the one who coined the term eugenics. He also pioneered the science of fingerprinting and, frankly, phrenology, which is reading the bumps on your head. He was one of those people that got into a lot. He was also Darwin's cousin. He said, there are three stages to be passed through when it comes to eugenics. It must be made familiar as an academic question until its exact importance has been understood and accepted as fact. Two, it must be recognized as a subject whose practical development deserves serious consideration. And three, it must be introduced into the national conscience like a new religion.
And that brings us back to Burning Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll continue this conversation as we prepare for the Transhumanism and the Hybrid Age Conference coming up in just a couple of weeks. We'll tell you how you can participate from your home in that conference, and we'll talk a little bit more about the intersection of robotics and religion, as evidenced by what's going on out there in the desert of Nevada, when Sci Friday continues after this.
From the Garden of Eden to our current day, dark Luciferian entities have worked to destroy mankind, while biblical prophecy points to a soon coming war between earthly governments and a clash of colossal proportions. Dr. Thomas Horn says you cannot understand much of the Bible unless you read and grasp the revelations in the Gods of War Super Collection. For your $35 donation during this very limited time offer, you'll receive The Alliance of Evil, the groundbreaking new book by Pentagon analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, which unveils the prophetic new dual Cold War between the U.S., Russia, and China unfolding across the global spectrum now. The Gods of Ground Zero, that explains the supernatural forces operating behind current global events. And The Last Clash of the Titans, which analyzes the most overlooked prophecies in the Bible and explains how Jesus Christ himself will soon go to war against the gods of antiquity. But with this three-volume critical collection, you'll also receive completely free of charge the brand new, never-before-released, full-length DVD, War of the Gods, Volume 1, Search for the Titans. Walk one-on-one with your personal guides, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, through a tour of the Holy Land, including Shiloh, Bethel, and Mount Hermon. You will see where the final battle between God and the rebel angels will take place. And you'll explore for yourself Sardinia's megalithic tombs of the giants, their connection to the ancient Canaanites, and the final battle. And that's not all. You'll also receive, for a very limited time, the best of the first annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Conference on DVD. This two-disc DVD collection is jam-packed with over 11 hours of mind-boggling revelations from presenters like Dr. Thomas R. Horn on deep state saboteurs and the secret destiny of America, Sharon Gilbert on the return of the ancients through pharmakia, necromancy, and virtual reality, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis on the inside war against President Trump by elite secret societies, and unforgettable presentations from celebrated theologian Dr. Michael Lake, Derek P. Gilbert, Josh Peck, and more. But we're still not done. Skywatch TV's Off the Record series is back by popular demand with a brand new, never-before-aired DVD, The Gods of War Edition, featuring exclusive interviews with Detective Carl Gallops, Senior Pentagon Analyst Robert McGinnis, Derek and Sharon Gilbert on the coming hyper battle between the forces of God and the titans of biblical prophecy. This content is only available in this exclusive offer and will not be aired anywhere else. Included for a limited time with the Gods of War Super Collection. This unprecedented collection, sold separately, holds a retail value of $220. All six items, yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This, without a doubt, is the largest special offer of the summer and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Gods of War Super Collection, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order online or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Sci-Friday from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert along with Sharon K. Gilbert.
Your book is here.
It's finally here.
Yeah.
It is shipping now. So we thank you for, because there have been thousands, there are thousands of boxes out there. Frankly, the ladies in the warehouse are taking my name in vain this week because they're out there working like mad. And God bless them. And God bless you for your patience in waiting for this package, because this book, along with the new book by Carl Gallops and Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, has been put together in a deal that is just crazy by Tom Horn. So they are shipping now, and thank you for your patience.
I keep hearing, curse you, Derek Gilbert.
That's right. And, of course, the package available for your book.
Stack of books plus a DVD. You can't beat that for a donation of only $50.
That's
and
right.
All you need is book 4 from the Red Wing Saga. $20 will get it to you, and you also get the DVD. And Derek's two books, so three books plus a DVD for $20.
So get that book, get the deal, and then bring the book to the conference in Branson if you're coming, because then, you know, you can keep Sharon busy signing. She's one of the featured speakers, of course, of the Transhumanism and the Hybrid Age Conference. If you cannot be there, and at this point the conference is totally sold out.
It is totally sold out. Don't even try to get a ticket.
Right.
They're
but
not
you
there.
Can sign up for live video streaming. That is the way to do it, because you can watch in the comfort of your own home. You can hit pause, rewind, and you get access to these to download so you can save them and watch them again on demand in the future. Plus, you get access to last year's conference, the 2017 conference, which features speakers who will not be at this year's conference, like L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Michael Lake, Anselm P. Rambla.
Yes.
And me. This year, I just get to introduce all the smart people like Sharon K. Gilbert. So you get two conferences for the price of one. video streaming available for the Transhumanism and the Hybrid Age Conference at gensix.com. That's G-E-N-S-I-X.com.
It's quite a deal, and you get last year's stuff, as you said, for free.
Two for one.
Love that. This does lead to Burning Man because, as I'm going to be saying in my talk in September, that it isn't just the science, it is a religion. And,
yes.
and because it's a religion, there are, we'll just call them magical workings that go along with it to give power to this, the rise of this, frankly, it's a new god that's being summoned.
Mm-hmm.
And as you would say, it's probably Kronos who's coming back.
Very, very likely. Something's coming out of the abyss. Revelation 9 makes it very clear that there are a whole lot of things coming out of the abyss ultimately, but they've got a leader over them who...
Well, the chaos monster, that would be Kronos.
Yeah, also referred to in the Bible as Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
So, as God created order out of chaos, I'm not sure I would identify Kronos with Leviathan. I think Leviathan was subdued in Genesis 1, verse 2, but I think the rebellion at Genesis 6, which was led by the Watchers, the Titans, occurred sometime later.
Hmm.
So I would suggest that those are two different entities.
Well, that's
but
very
we
possible.
Don't know.
We don't know. That's just it. We really don't know. But we do know that there are festivals like Burning Man taking place across the country and across the world. And many of these festivals have pagan rituals accompanying them.
As Carl Teichrib calls them, transformational festivals. The point is to transform society. Contrary to the hopes and dreams of the neo-atheists like Richard Dawkins, we are not becoming a more rational and less religious society here in the West. We are becoming more pagan. As we move into a post-Christian era, we are becoming more pagan. And that's what's going on at Burning Man. And, as Carl points out, more than 200 of these festivals annually across the United States. Burning Man is just the biggest and most obvious because it's got so much corporate participation and corporate sponsorships.
Is that in the United States or is that worldwide, 200?
United States.
Just in the United States there are 200?
United States and Canada, yeah, North
America. Because I know there are a lot in the UK.
Right. No, he said just in, many of them are much smaller events, but there are a couple hundred of them that take place in North America in any given year.
And you know, some of these installations from Burning Man have become art exhibits at the Smithsonian.
At the Smithsonian, right. So this is infiltrating our society. As Carl points out, and Carl, along with some of our colleagues from Skywatch TV, are at this year's event and will report back when the event is over. We don't want to bring them on and kind of blow their cover during the festival,
right,
which, by the way, runs through Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, September 4th. But Carl has pointed out that the people who attend these events are not, the 21st century version of hippies. These are our friends and our family members, our children, our grandchildren. Corporate America, especially the tech industry, Silicon Valley is there in force. The only reason Elon Musk isn't there this year is because his company Tesla is in total
imploding.
Disarray at the moment. It's imploding, yeah. So he's got other priorities at the moment. But Google and Microsoft and many of the other tech giants from Silicon Valley are there, and they're there in force. And because they shape our perception of reality, I mean, in spite of Google's denials this week, no, we don't filter search results. We're totally unbiased. Yeah, sorry, that's not true.
They do.
And because most of us interface with reality, with the wider world, through a screen and through search engines, they control the information that gets to us to a large degree and shape our perceptions of reality. So
that's so true, because everything that we find online has already been chosen for us by an algorithm.
Right. And we're at a stage now in American life where, and I thought this was a brilliant description last week, and I hopefully I can and repeat it and do it justice, that Christianity now is sort of like possession of cannabis. It's barely legal in most places, but better off, you're better off just sort of keeping it quiet.
Well, the interesting thing about that comparison is that the same people who would make that comparison would also say it's sort of mind-numbing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Christianity has been seen by those within the atheist camp and even agnostics as a crutch.
Right. And many of the pagans believe that Christians are only getting a small and very narrow piece of the overall puzzle. Okay, yeah, they may recognize that there's a supernatural realm out there, but they've got their minds closed to the totality or the reality of the spirit realm.
And they're repeating the very question from Genesis 3, did God really say?
Exactly. Exactly, because this all goes back to the original lie in the garden, which is at the very heart of the transhumanist movement, and ye shall be as gods.
Yes, exactly. And it's very disturbing to me how many pastors out there are asking that same question. Did God really say?
Sadly, megachurch pastors even saying, yeah, Old Testament, no, we need to forget about all that. Like, that sets up the whole... That's the whole battle right there, the reason for the war.
That is the foundation. If you don't understand the book of Genesis, you will not understand the book of Revelation.
Absolutely. That's right. And too many American churches are cutting the ends off the like cutting the ends off the loaf of bread. That's the best part right there, the beginning.
I know,
and the
I always say those.
and speaking of the war, the long-running war, in next May,
yes.
We're the Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel, hosted by Skywatch TV. Sharon and I, honored to be hosts again, May 12th through 23rd of 2019. Pastor Carl Gallup's also hosting this tour.
He is.
And, of course, as the author of Gods of Ground Zero, he'll be doing some preaching on where those spots are and why he says Jerusalem is actually ground zero for the original terrorist attack.
Oh, his new book, by the way, I read it when we were going out to Long Island, and it is really, really good.
Yeah.
That book, your book, Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis's book, that package is incredible. Also, the Fall brothers are going to be with us.
Yes, Justin Fall and Wes Fall, and we're told that Rabbi Zev Perot and his lovely wife Lynn will join us for at least a couple of days during the tour. So
this is a rolling conference in Israel.
That's right.
How often do you get that? We'll be talking on the bus. We'll be talking at the sites that we visit. And every evening, you'll have a question and answer session, perhaps a presentation. So this really will be a conference.
Yeah, yeah. A rolling conference from Dan to Beersheba across Israel with Carol Gallups, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, Justin and Wes Fall, Skywatch TV's Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel. Hurry to get your reservation in because they do want to get a head count as soon as possible.
And the buses are filling up.
Buses are filling up. They need to book hotel rooms. And, trust me, the hotels, top-notch. The food, absolutely
really
amazing.
Nice.
This will be a unique, one-of-a-kind tour of Israel. So don't delay. LipkinTours.com to sign up. LipkinTours.com.
Well, time
is already passed. Labor Day Monday. So enjoy your long weekend. Hope it is a blessed one. And with Sharon Gilbert, I'm Derek Gilbert. We thank you for watching. As we keep watch, this is Sci Friday from Skywatch TV.